Hallo, hier bin ich.
Hey, hey, hey.
Grüezi.
Moin.
Hallihallo.
Hi.
Howdy.
Tja, bei jedem Training können Sie neue Gehirnzellen begrüßen, denn die entstehen bei sportlicher Betätigung. Das Gehirn ist eben ein technisches Meisterwerk. Nutzen Sie unsere sportmedizinische Untersuchung und finden Sie den idealen Sport für sich. Weil die beste Technik menschlich ist. Die Techniker.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by Endzone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The dance part. Oh!
J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling.
What is going on, SB Nation Radio 1560? My name is Chris Tamez, and oh my God, it's been a crazy week, but I'm not alone here. I'm here with the Kings, Mr. Mean Gene, Diamond Dave, and Super Mario, a new guest here. What's going on, guys?
What is, you know what's going on. First of all, I don't even want to disrespect the city of Houston by not saying hello, Houston. Welcome to the Sports Kings After Dark. But you guys last week, man, you guys had Mean Gene wearing rompers. I heard everything. I heard you, Chris.
Yeah.
I heard Diamond Dave here. You gave him a new name. What the hell happened? Diamond. I leave for one week.
Yeah, you're gone for one week.
And y'all changed every damn thing.
I mean, hey, Diamond Dave.
Where's Allie? Allie's not here.
Allie, I don't know where Allie's at.
Although I do like Super Mario.
Super
here.
Mario, guy, yes, yes.
Houston, thank you. This guy has, you will hear his voice tonight and the knowledge he has. I'm so glad to be back. I am happy to be back.
I'm happy to have you
back,
sir.
I don't know if I should leave again,
I mean,
but I'm happy to be back.
If you're going to come back, you got to bring rompers.
No.
We're going to see you in those rompers. The fans of SB Nation Radio, Sports Kings After Dark, they want to see the rompers on Twitter and on Facebook. They want to see
them. They don't want to see me in no damn rompers. I'm not wearing any, first of all.
I mean, we should make a wager. Like Ali said last week, we should make a wager. I don't know.
I just took a stress test the other day, and this is really not good for my health to be talking about this.
Rompers anyway, are stress-free.
Yeah.
They're very, anyway, loose, Houston, very loose and free-flowing.
Welcome to Sports Kings After Dark. We are Houston's only live weekend sports talk show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. We get into the NBA Finals. Going to talk about LeBron James and all of his accolades, Texans. We're going to talk about the Houston Texans. We're going to talk about the NFL touchdown celebrations. We got a big show for you tonight. 2 hours of radio. And it's going to start with these guys right here in front of me. Dave, Diamond Dave, I got to get used to saying that.
I know. I'm not even used to saying that. So all of us is going to
David Ramon. That's what you were, David Ramon, when I left here 2 weeks
ago. I was at one time, but yeah, that's changed over the course of the show. Okay. But
we got to make Dave shine brightly.
But also, you know, I'm kind of excited today because, I mean, we even get to mention The Simpsons also. And when did we ever get to talk about The Simpsons?
Why are we talking about The Simpsons right now?
Oh, well, I guess we can, you know, we'll find out later whenever we... Yeah, because, I mean, I don't want to just spill the beans on it right now because I'm going to be really excited about it later.
Okay, Allie takes the night off, so we get Super Mario. You want to introduce Mario to
Super Mario,
to the Houston
listeners? Yeah, I met Super Mario not too long ago. He's a friend of a friend of mine, and, I mean, when I heard him talk, I have a little wrestling podcast out there, and I asked him to be on board, and then when we take breaks from wrestling... I was listening to him, and he knows his MMA, his boxing.
Because, you know, he's this New York stuff.
He's from.
We got to slowly break him in
Spanish
to the South here. Because you know how fast they talk in New York, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. All day, every day.
You know.
But, he knows his stuff. He knows his sports. He knows baseball, basketball, football, whatever.
As soon as you told me he was from New York, I had to check my wallet. I know how slick they are in New York, man.
Got them fast hands.
They get you good, man. What's up, Super Mario?
What's going on? How you doing, Houston? What's going on?
Well, I tell you what, we're going to find out. Houston is going to tell you when we give them this number. We are going to take your calls tonight, folks, because we want you to chime in on a couple of subjects here, especially NBA Finals. You know, we pretend to know it all. It's just going to be nice to know What do you think about this NBA Finals? Will you just blow it completely off because it has nothing to do with Houston? Or do you really have a horse in this race here? So you get a chance to chime in. That phone number is 713-439-1560. Just call anytime. Call anytime, chime in, make sure you have a point, and make sure you make your point.
Just pick up your phone.
When you call in, that's 713-439-1560. We want to hear from Houston. But, guys, let's just jump right in on the NBA Finals. It's finally here.
Oh, yeah, and you know, the funny thing is how everyone already predicted it. Everyone knew this was coming. But the fact that it's finally right here in our face is definitely a different feeling because I'm seeing it in a whole new spectrum a little bit. Like, honestly, I feel like a lot of people in Houston don't have a horse in this race. Mm-hmm. But I would say it's a horse in the race of basketball in general. It's because, I mean, just to be clear, it's the two best teams we have right now. Mm-hmm. A trilogy. We can honestly put this in category with best trilogies ever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, to me, I just feel that it's that much on this game right here. Did y'all feel that?
Get a do-over, Mario.
I totally agree. I think, you know, if you're a fan of the sport, this is what you watch. This is what you tune in for. These are two behemoths going at it, the number one seed and the number two seed, West and East, going at it. It's going to be interesting. You know, you got jump shooters against other jump shooters. Can Cleveland keep up and shoot as well as they're shooting going into the finals?
Tell you what, they really got hot there in that Boston series. And I got to just make sure, guys, there is no other Boston-Cleveland game, right?
No.
We are at the finals, right?
We're done with that.
Because I don't know. That thing just dragged on unnecessarily. It just didn't seem like, you know, Cleveland was going to put that thing away, and they put it away in big fashion. But, yeah, you brought up a good point, Mario. You said the number one seed against the number two seed. But, I mean, it is no secret that the Golden State Warriors are the favorite here, having not lost a game in these playoffs.
We're adding more to the story as we go as well, because of course everyone's been talking about LeBron and MJ, and just everyone's stature as of right now, and we're just adding to this amazing storyline because everyone has something to say when Boston won a game, snuck a game or whatever. But you know, even at that, we're still seeing really good basketball, guys really hooping out there, and I feel like this series has evolved in every series. For example, the first series when LeBron was pretty much out there by himself, for him to go that many games, no Kyrie, no Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. Then the second one to come back around and actually dominate the way he did. Mm-hmm. go to the games that it did and have that mm-hmm. amazing ending that Kyrie came up, and now they add pieces. Now not only Cleveland gets better, they start getting a good range of each other, really good, you know, backup guys. Yep. And now Golden State reloads with KD. Like, it's honestly not fair when you really look at it, because it was honestly not fair just looking at these guys play sometimes.
But it hasn't been easy for Golden State this year.
No, they lost out KD.
Even with KD, it didn't look like Golden State was going to get there. He missed how many games?
Oh, yeah.
Almost just before the playoffs.
You're looking at that and you're paying attention to that, but he comes back and has amazing games, and as if, you know, nothing was wrong with them, and you see him play like that, yep, you can only assume what kind of caliber of basketball we're about to see.
Yeah, we're about to see some good stuff here, guys, and I don't know about you guys, and I think we're making our picks tomorrow night.
Yeah.
We're just going to drag it on, folks. I'm sorry. It's just too much to talk about to make our picks tonight, because we got to break this thing down at every angle.
Agreed.
And we were talking about this earlier, like, this game has more on it than what a lot of people think. Think about how the way the NBA has been changing and the way teams are starting to look at different avenues of playing, different styles. Now analytics is a new hot thing.
Yeah, it is.
And the way, you know, people scout. And, man, it keeps on adding to basketball and the way it keeps evolving. It's because we're going to get into this conversation about LeBron James and Michael Jordan a little later. Mm-hmm. But think about how we used to watch the game back in the 90s or late 2000s, and the way we, you know, respect and watch the game now. Yeah. It's totally two different products almost, but in their own sense of way, they have their ways of still getting that itch, our basketball itch that we need. And we see that caliber every time.
For me, I think one of the biggest interesting things to me is going to be the benches.
Mm-hmm.
You have you have the two best benches in the league, mm-hmm. you know, and the thing about those teams are, it's like whenever it seems, you know, someone's off, like let's say Seth Curry's off or Klay Thompson's off or KD's off, someone always seems to step up.
someone always seems to step up. Now, the question is with the Cavaliers, and this has been brought back again 1,000 times, mm-hmm. when LeBron is off, who's going to step up? Who's going to be that third man? You know, is Kevin Love going to come into the series?
Well, we hope he – if Kevin Love continues what he did in the last round and Kyrie shows up when you – you know, he's always there. It's –
And let's give – and you know what? Real quick, I just want to give Kyrie a special shout-out just because it's like we've seen – whenever he was coming out of Duke and he missed all those games at Duke, and for him still be a top first-round pick – and honestly, at the time, I didn't see him play too much in high school, but I did notice a lot. But still, in the back of my mind, I was just like, I don't really see that just yet. I don't think what everyone else sees as of right now. But for him to become the player that he did, like that he has become.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see that either. Especially because, first of all, I hate Duke. Yeah. So
anybody that
comes out of Duke, I'm not going to watch Duke. But you do have to respect Duke and those players that come out of there. You know, if Kobe Bryant had went to college.
Oh wow.
He would have went to Duke.
Wow. Yeah.
Could you imagine if Kobe Bryant had went to
Duke? It'll be a whole different beast, I believe.
He would have played with Corey Maggette. Could you imagine that?
Oh, him and Corey Maggette?
Then,
wow.
But anyway, looking at Kyrie, I didn't see it. I did not see this kid coming out of Duke, just played 1 year, mm-hmm. and coming into the league. Man, this boy is good.
For me, it was the durability. You know what I mean? Because he missed all those games. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, what are you really going to get out of him? You know what I mean? Like, is he going to play a whole season? Can mm-hmm. he be injury-free without a whole season? Then he got hurt, and then you wondered what's going to happen then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he just never ceases to amaze the critics.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to add on a little bit, and the way he handles the ball, this is the status quo of handling the ball as of right now, is the way Kyrie manages the point guard.
He's got his own little highlight reel going that we rarely get a chance to see. He makes a lot of good plays. I tell you what, though. Is that my music? Is that my music? It's my time.
That is your music.
Because I sat and listened to all of you guys' music, and it wasn't bad. I don't know what the heck. Did I hear country last week on this show?
Oh, yeah.
did I hear country on this show last week?
I did that, yep.
Who played the country?
Allie,
was that you?
Allie.
Oh, y'all blaming it on Allie.
No, yeah.
Okay.
It was
all right.
Shania Twain.
I tell you what. So, anyway, folks,
Reba.
We are going to come back. We're going to continue on with our NBA Finals coverage here. You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark with Mario, with Diamond Dave, and DJ Chris Tamaz. I'm Mean Gene. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by Endzone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Oh, yeah, we're back. We're back, SB Nation Radio. I'm a brother. I love this song. I love this song.
Well, I tell you what, man, folks, if you haven't heard... Greg Allman, one of the leaders, the singer, he played organ for this great band, the Allman Brothers. Greg Allman passed away at the age of 69, and man, I do remember that song.
I love this song.
Yeah, that song was, I mean, they had a couple of good songs out there. Midnight Rider was good.
Yeah, I like Jessica, too.
You guys remember that? And they had one called Blue Sky.
Back in my day, I remember when the Allman Brothers would come to Houston and I'd go. I go to the summit.
But yeah, this probably was the one that everybody remembered. Ramblin' Man was a good one. So hey, thanks for that tribute there, Chris. Anyway, once again, folks, it's the Sports Kings After Dark. Mean Gene, Super Mario, and Diamond Dave and Chris, we are talking sports here in the city of Houston, Texas. You know, is this not the fourth largest city in the United States?
Only getting bigger.
I want to say third now.
Yeah, third. We were fourth before.
So we moved up?
Yeah.
Well, who did we knock off?
Chicago, I believe.
Chi-town.
No, yeah. We couldn't have knocked off.
Yeah.
Yeah, knocked off
Chicago. Houston knocked off Chicago, really?
I believe so. You also got to think about how way spread out we are, so we cover more land and Texas more people can come.
That was the biggest difference for me when I moved down here.
When we get time, guys, we got to talk about Chicago and Illinois politics.
Sweet home.
Days. Because you got the state of Illinois, and then you got this one big city, Chicago. Mm-hmm. So everybody votes in Chicago, so if you're running for office in Illinois, why the hell would you go out and campaign anywhere but Chicago?
Well, you know,
that's crazy.
You gotta win Farmer Brown.
Even though the
Electoral College is a lot different, and the way they do that is not population based.
Is that Farmer Brown? Who's part of
the
Farmer Brown.
You know, Electoral and Brown. Another thing you notice, Illinois, they had a couple of governors back to back went to jail after they got out of office.
They have some of the biggest, one of the biggest corruption cases in Chicago.
Illinois. Anyway, I'm sorry if you are.
I mean,
from,
they're a regular Gotham City over there.
Yeah, it's
pretty much Gotham City.
Hey,
so
the only Gotham City is New York City. So let's get that straight. Let's get that straight
here, real quick.
We got a New Yorker here.
That was quoted in 1920, sir. That coin was phrased.
We got to get that right. Well, anyway. Big ups to Houston for knocking off Chicago, getting up to the third largest city in the United States. Really?
Yeah.
H-Town.
Well, if you think about it, like
it's history here.
So, you know, it's the only thing way we're going to go. They can only go up more, you know, if you really think about all the buildings
this
and everything like that.
This is a huge city.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, whenever you go to a different city, it's almost unreal. Like we were talking about when I went to New York, that was an experience just because I was so claustrophobic. And I didn't even know I was claustrophobic until I got to New York City, honestly.
Yep.
Yeah, New York City is very nice. But anyway, guys, we were talking NBA Finals, and Game 1 will kick off on Thursday, June 1st. And an interesting thing about the NBA Finals, now, I don't know if you guys have had time to look at the schedules. If this thing, so it starts June 1st. Mm-hmm. If this thing goes 7 games, you know that the last game would be played like late, I think like the 17th of June or something like that, or it's just really late. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of days off between games, and we all know why the NBA does that, right? It's got to be, you got it. It's all about the money.
Oh, yeah, they spend as much
all
as
about
they
the
can.
Money.
All about the money. But let's talk about, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Tamron Sproul on the show. She is a SB Nation writer for the Golden State Warriors.
The
Golden State of Mind, that site. And we talked about the coaching. Everyone knows who the coach of the Golden State Warriors is, right?
Correct.
It's Steve Kerr, right? But have you seen Steve Kerr? Steve Kerr has not been on the bench because he is still dealing with
the back issue.
So Mike Brown has stepped in and done a hell of a job.
Yes, he has.
But the stakes now get a little bit higher, guys. Get a little bit higher for Mike Brown and Steve Kerr. Do you expect to see more Steve Kerr now that we are in the finals?
I don't think we're going to see more Steve Kerr because I think he's still going to be in the locker room. I think he's not getting the back of the, you know, he's in the back now and he's looking at it during halftime. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Mike Brown, people forget who Mike Brown used to coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's going up against LeBron.
Jeez, exactly.
This thing's got all sorts of storylines.
Exactly.
Oh,
so
man.
How much you want to bet he's not going to put out all that stuff? If you remember about LeBron James and all the stuff we ever told him, like, man, I think, you know, he could do this. He's going to pull all those cards out of his pocket.
He's the best scout right now on the Golden State Warriors team. Am I right?
That is it.
Yeah.
That's the inside man. You got everything you need to know.
But, I mean, you know, there was a game between the Spurs where Steve Kerr had to come out, especially it was the one game. The only game that the Spurs actually took over was that game one.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like, you know, the Spurs was going to win that game. And somehow Steve Kerr shows up. And do we see that again if the Cleveland Cavaliers just get out of control and just come out and just, you know, just get on Golden State? Will we see Steve Kerr at any point in time?
No, I believe, like you said, he's going to be in the back already, just ready to go, just in case.
What does being in the back does?
I mean, you know what?
If you can get to the arena,
get on the bench. Get yourself to the bench.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
I feel the same way.
I don't get that, and I mean, I'm just really worried, and I know I'm not trying to diminish the you know, and the hope for Golden State Warriors fans. I mean, if your coach can coach, then he should coach.
Yeah.
But this Mike Brown thing, Mike Brown, I guess next year might win or lose might be the most sought after coach in the NBA, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
But honestly, when you look at it, and I feel for Luke Walton whenever he left, that was a really good move for him going in the situation that he was in. But, you know, if you're Brown, do you really have to go? I mean,
he's the number one assistant. They hired him for that job.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. So, I mean, you're in a very comfortable spot.
That doesn't mean that you could keep him. But, I mean, yeah, I think Mike Brown has a lot to prove, too. Especially, you know, spending, how many days with the Lakers? Five games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Less than
something
that.
Like that. Four games, before getting fired. But, no, this is quite interesting. So, I just, you know, I've been, you know, keeping my thoughts on that for a while because it's just interesting to see, you know, a coach. I know what Luke Walton did at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And then Kerr finished the deal. But now you have another coach here at the end of the season. This is critical moments here, you know, and I'm just, you know, a little concerned. Look concerned.
And you know, you have the right to be concerned just a little bit, just because it is, you feel that it is a different flow whenever he's there versus he's not there. But it's like,
but these guys are 9-0.
These guys are in the NBA though. What can this man really tell y'all to really get y'all jumping that Mike Brown couldn't tell y'all? And that was some of the things about it that kind of just bothered me just a little bit. Like, oh, because he told y'all something, y'all start, you know, making shots now all of a sudden. So to me, I feel like it is definitely a morale booster just for them. Yeah. I'm not sure what else he can really be saying differently. That Brown is insane, but true. I just feel that it has a lot to do with just them and their feeling. It's that little momentum that he can just bring just by showing his face, and that to me is amazing.
It's though his years of experience in the chip. You know what I mean? If I'm not mistaken, Steve Kerr got 5 rings. He got three with the Bulls and 2 with the Spurs, or 3 mm-hmm. or vice. You know, mm-hmm. either or. So it's not only just having them there, it's that experience.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably been through almost every single situation in an NBA playoff you can be in, maybe except being down 0-3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so having that there, I think, is important. Also having his spirit as a competitor, because even though he's a coach, he used to be a player. You'll never lose that side of you. So having that there, too, as a player is refreshing. It's like, okay, cool. I know, you know what I mean? You know,
especially
when
it gets, being a guard. It seems like these guard coaches are good. If you play guard in the NBA, chances are you're going to be a pretty good coach.
Because you run the floor. Yeah, you're the floor general. You run the floor. So, you know, you have these guys' respect. They look up to him. And, you know, he's the leader of the charge. So, you know, if Steve Kerr's getting fired up, you know, that's what you really have to look out. Because that's when that team is just like, well, if Steve Kerr's getting turned up, it's time to turn up.
Yeah, it's time to turn up.
So, you guys, you talked about, you know, with the addition of Kevin Durant on this team and what he brings to the team. What about JaVale McGee?
You know what's the funny thing about him is that he has a knack of being at the right places at the right times, regardless of how he may get there or the way he mm-hmm. may look. But, I mean, he does the big man things that they just need. And those tip-ins, rebounds, it's,
you know,
those
what he
little
is?
Things.
Yes. You know what he is? Not to sound cliche or anything, but mm-hmm. he is the Dennis Rodman.
Of this team. Yeah.
He's going to do the dirty work.
And a young Dennis Rodman.
And he's going to do the dirty work. He's going to go get the fouls.
Right.
He's going to go get the rebounds. But he's going to go fight for
His game has really, really changed. And just think about it. Golden State has had some big men. Petrulia, they had Bogut, who they just let go.
Yep.
Yeah.
But now this guy has really stepped it up. That last series, he really showed up.
But look at this, though. Imagine going to the Golden State Warriors and being virtually, they just take the best center they can get. And this is what really happens. And they just put these guys in a position where is this, they actually just go tell big man, hey, just go be a big man. Go be tall. And it works. It's crazy because of the stuff that you don't have to do, worry about. You don't have to be implemented in the offense. You don't have to take away from a game that, you know, a part of the game that you don't even use or have. Because think about the stigma on him. Whenever you think of JaVale McGee, what do you think of first? You're not going to think of the
first
good
off,
things.
You're going to be like, who's JaVale McGee? That's the first
That's one thing. That's one thing.
But you guys probably the first
but
one.
But also the one thing you're going to look at is just like, oh, that big goofy dude that shoots air balls and
his game is getting better. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers certainly will not just have their way in the paint.
Oh, no.
You know, with having his presence there. I mean, I really think you're going to see. We didn't see much of Klay Thompson at all.
And that's the scary part. Klay Thompson hasn't got hot.
Oh, man.
If Klay Thompson gets hot, Curry gets hot, Durant gets hot, Green gets hot, that's a scary team. And the other thing about that, too, with McGee is it also shows to the type of caliber of players you're with. Because better players make you better.
Oh, yeah.
They make you better. They make you want to be better. They make you want to play harder. And that's what it is. He's seeing now, like, I'm this close to tasting championship. You know what I mean? When you have, when you're almost there and it's in the palm of your hand and you got it taken away, that leaves a bit of taste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And they're remembering that taste.
It makes him want to keep his job, most definitely. He wants to keep that spot.
And going back to the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, so the one game that Boston won, and I think everyone just said LeBron checked out. I mean, you have those games in the NBA, even in the playoffs. You have those games where I think everyone, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that the Cavaliers was going to win that series, right?
Yeah. But I totally feel that sometimes people forget that people are human. Just because something doesn't happen the way people all think it should happen because they should have swept them, but they forget that. How about the times whenever you or the person who's judging LeBron was at a baseball game they didn't want to be at, or just in a situation where they just couldn't perform at their highest peak as they usually could? They just forget that sometimes humans make human mistakes.
It happens, and of course we'll talk, you know, after the break here about, you know, what happened when they got to Boston. I mean, it was just a long trip to Boston.
I have a little theory that I'm going to bounce off you two guys when we get back. And you tell me what you think about it when it comes to
okay.
This.
That sounds like a plan. All right, folks. So, hey, once again, you are listening to Sports Kings After Dark with Super Mario, my man Diamond Dave, and my DJ back there in the back room. Man, Chris just had so much fun back there. I can't even see him. It's dark. Is he back there? Or is it on autopilot?
What is he always doing back there?
Why is it always dark back there?
Chris, we can't even see you, man. Anyway.
I'm just a little creepy.
All right, folks, Chris. Stay tuned for more Sports Kings After Dark. We'll see you in a minute.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Allie, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
What's going on, guys? SB Nation Radio 1560. We are back with Mean Gene, Diamond Dave, and Super Mario. What's going on, guys?
I think you should just keep that beat going right there for a little bit because I think I'm about to bust a rhyme. Oh, yeah. I think I'm gonna do it. Hip hop, a hip it to the hip it, the hip hop hop. You don't stop. You guys know I used to be a rapper, right?
Yeah.
You know I used to do this stuff back in the day.
Bring it home.
Now what you hear is not a test. I'm just rapping to the beat. Actually, I'm not rapping to the beat. I'm off. Wait a minute. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello.
Hello.
You guys don't remember that, huh?
I remember that. Yes,
come
I do.
On, man.
Before Chris, my time. Before my time.
It wasn't before your time.
I'm 87.
You're 87?
Yeah. This was like 83, 82, maybe.
All right. You don't have to tell everybody how old I am now.
You know what's funny about like hip-hop and everything, how there's always like stories behind all stories and songs and stuff, and how I always heard how the Sugar Hill Gang was kind of like a gimmicky group and how they kind of stole from a lot of the MCs who were doing a lot of things in New York at the time.
Well,
Grandmaster Caz and a whole bunch of other guys.
This song right here.
And, you know, and I know the mean, and I definitely understand what this song means to a lot of people because it broke hip-hop out. Like, it got to the masses.
But you know what, though? It wasn't so much the song Rapper's Delight as this beat. This beat came from a group called Chic.
Yes, they did.
Oh, yeah.
And now Rogers, I can't remember the other guy's name, but this beat started rap. I mean, because so many songs.
So Chic, that's right.
So many other rappers used this beat. This beat started it. The start, gotcha. You know, it started the whole thing.
It's probably
so anyway,
one of the most sample songs in the world.
That's the one. You're talking about using somebody's sample? This was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you for that, Chris. That's good stuff there. So, hey, folks, we're giving away a chance for your child here in Houston to win a spot in the James Harden Basketball Pro Camp. All you need to do is follow 1560 AM all week on social media for contest details. You can just get online and click for the camp registration info. So I'm sure your child wants to go and be part of the James Harden Basketball Pro Camp. How about that?
Oh, who wouldn't?
Good stuff right there.
Do it.
So anyway, we were talking about the NBA Finals. Once again, it's going to kick off game one. We'll kick off on Thursday, June 1st, It's going to be great. ABC once again has it. No more TNT, no more Charles, no more Kenny, Ernie.
I'm still like, Jack. I'm still, even though it's been years, like, I sometimes still hurt that it's not on NBC anymore. We don't get to hear that amazing music in the beginning before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to.
Oh, man.
There was nothing like NBC Sunday.
It was. Yeah. There was definitely a feeling
back,
that
back
you
in
get.
The Jordan days.
Yeah. Oh, right before yes. like before the Bulls and Jazz.
How many church services I missed because of Michael Jordan.
Oh, man.
Back in the day. And you know what? That just kind of brings us up to our next conversation here. LeBron James, guys, went out there and did some things. Mm-hmm. And you guys know some of the things he did. He has scored 5,995 points in 212 playoff games, which is 8 more than the man that I just said, Michael Jordan.
The Michael Jordan.
So James's 35-point performance in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals on Thursday night, that put him where he needed to be. Is the all-time score in playoff history, right?
All yes, time. Sir.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So, guys, I have to ask now. Here we have Michael Jordan, who played in what was back then best of 5-game series in the playoffs. So he didn't get these 7-game series that LeBron has gotten. But here's the chance for us to break down who was better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James.
And this conversation really aggravates me so much, man, because we were talking about this, and it's just like, you got an apple in the left hand, and you have an orange in your right hand, and you both understand they're both fruit. But at the same time, you kind of feel that whenever you're really comparing these guys, you can't just look at stats. You can't just look at eras. You can't just look at also socially what they have done, because I just feel that emotionally, these guys has given us so many different things. And you can't but to feel a certain way whenever, let's say if you get to experience both of these guys. I didn't get to experience MJ the way, of course, you have, Gene, but whenever I was really getting into basketball and I was around that age where everything is stuck into me, Michael Jordan was probably one of the things that shaped in my life, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I can say that if there was no Michael Jordan, maybe I wouldn't be as passionate about basketball as I am now. Mm-hmm. But there was definitely another nostalgia that you felt whenever you saw the process of LeBron James coming up in high school. Like, that was a whole deal in itself, and we got introduced to a little bit of what recruiting and doing this looks like of becoming a superstar, and it happened in front of everyone's face, and we got to see it happen. Mm-hmm. There's proof of everything going on and just happening the way it happens. Even everyone remembers the Nike commercial before, I believe his first games was against the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. It was with him and Mike Bibby, and everyone's looking at him to see what he's about to do, and he just takes off after maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That meant so much to me at the time. It's because I knew what I was seeing was just different of what have we experienced just now.
Mario, what do you think about this comparison of Michael Jordan and LeBron James?
It's so hard, you know, because if you're a basketball purist, you know, if you're a true fan of the game, what it comes down to, technically, it's going to come down to the rings. Who got the most chips? Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to be called the GOAT, who got the most chips? You know, you go, LeBron only got 3, but Jordan got 6. But take into account the eras in which they played. You know, and if you want to go there, Bill Russell got 11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But right, if you really want to go there,
Bill Russell got 11, but Bill Russell played when there were only 9 teams in the league.
Right. So you got to look at one. You got to look at the era.
Exactly. And, you know, you got to look at the era.
And positions.
But he played against Wilt Chamberlain.
But you got to look at the positions, too, right. Because back in the Russell days, no one on God's green earth could guard a big man.
No.
You just couldn't.
It was just a freak. You know, it was just brand new to the game.
Right.
They were like, what are we going to do?
The bigger you were, then the guards never touched the ball.
Nope.
You know, so interesting stuff, though. But you're right. I look at this, though, guys. I mean, you have to look at, there's no comparison between Michael Jordan and LeBron James in my book, because you got, first of all, 3 different positions or 2 with these guys. I'm thinking about Wilt and those guys. I mean, you got a guard and you got, a power forward. So, I mean, how can you make any comparison? Both of these guys just have, you know, different games. They both can take over games when they wanted to. Now, Michael Jordan, a lot of people will say Michael Jordan had the killer instinct.
Yeah.
You know, and during his time, but look what Michael had to go up against. LeBron, LeBron didn't have Michael's competitions. Back then.
There was no Bill Laimbeer.
Right. There was no Magic Johnson, no Charles Barkley, no Larry Bird. I mean, you don't have that caliber of talent.
But think about what the league looks like now. And even when LeBron was playing before he went to Miami, think about whenever he used to go off against the Detroit Pistons when it was like that double overtime and this amazing feats like that. Because I would say that LeBron came on the tail end of an era whenever it was about to evolve.
Right.
Because think about whenever he came in. Now it was new stars now. It was Kobe, Kevin Garnett. It was Tim Duncan. It was Steve Francis. It was all these different little guys who are putting up what we see basketball-wise during the 2000s. Because to me, the basketball in the 2000s was his own little era. Dirk Nowitzki, even though a lot of these guys you can say weren't as good or as better as the players in the 90s or 80s, but it was the game-changing.
Didn't we expect this? Didn't we expect this?
Yeah, just like I said.
We didn't expect it from Jordan as much. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Kobe, we expected it. They told us Kobe was going to be great. That's why the Lakers traded. You know, that's why they got the trade with Charlotte to get him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry West saw that, and so it was expected from Kobe. It was expected from LeBron. It was not expected from Michael Jordan.
Mm-mm.
What we got from Michael, no one really saw it coming because he was not the best player on his college team.
Oh no,
no man,
by far. Right.
I just want to add a little bit since I'm on neutral ground. I don't really. I mean, I know Michael Jordan. I know LeBron James as well, but I think. Me coming from the like neutral party, don't really know that much like you guys know. I kind of favor Michael Jordan, not because I grew up with him, but because I think he has that it factor. He has the charisma. He has that like, I don't know, like that warming smile like, hey, go buy Hanes or go buy Fruit of Loom or I don't know.
He's very marketable.
Yeah, exactly. Very marketable. And LeBron James is just... If it wasn't for that vine, that LeBron James vine, I'd be like, you know, I was like, who's LeBron James? Like, that's the only reason.
I'm going to tell you what I take from your conversation. Mm-hmm. I take it that you're a Hanes man.
No Fruit of the Loom.
I think Michael sold you on the Hanes.
He eats Wheaties, too. Definitely eats Wheaties.
I wish Hanes had made my size. But, anyway. But no, yeah, like, that's why I like Michael Jordan more, because he was more marketable. He had the it factor. He's like...
And he was good with the media.
Yeah.
Michael would do interviews. Man, Michael Jordan was really good. LeBron is not bad.
Yeah.
But Michael.
Michael would have reporters out of the palm of
his hand. Yeah.
I think in my realm of pop culture and coming from a neutral factor, this is just me talking. Don't unlynch me, guys. Mm-hmm. But maybe Michael Jordan and Shaq or Charles Barkley? I don't know. Like, why LeBron James? Why are we comparing? Why?
Well, because you're going with the hottest player
it's
of
like
his
Muhammad
era.
Ali and-
I mean, that's how they do it, because every era has a hot player, you know, whether it was the
It's like
the
Muhammad
Russell.
Ali and Mike Tyson. It's like, I mean, you can't.
Well, you can't. That's what we're saying, different eras. But anyway, I can tell you what, though. We wouldn't be having the LeBron conversation if, you know, Michael Jordan had played 7-game playoff series.
That's true,
man.
Because he never would have. You know, break the record, but you can't take what this guy has done. When he wants to take over a game, this guy is big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for him to do what he can do at his position, and we saw Magic do that. He was the biggest guard.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they thought it was
point
illegal.
Center. That was the right center right there, point center.
Skyhawk, man.
Right.
Like,
you have to give LeBron, I mean, here's a guy that came straight from high school, not 1 ounce of college in him.
Nope.
And slowly but surely, he got to where he needed to go. And I think people can almost respect. I can tell you what, when he left Cleveland the first time and went to join the Heat, you know, hey, I didn't really have an opinion on that. He did what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. But when he came back to Cleveland, boy, that was good stuff.
Oh, man. And
that was good stuff.
Let me play devil's advocate
for
LeBron. That whole, you know, the whole thing, this is when it comes down to me. You know, people say that, you know, who is LeBron Prey? Honestly, when you think about it, when Jordan was in the playoffs, who did he play against? Utah, really, at the time. Utah, the Seattle Supersonics when they had Sean Kemp and GP. Gary Payton. Really? Come on. LeBron has gone through Tim Duncan, has gone, you know, think of all the stars he's gone through. Back then, how many superstars did you have on the team at the time?
Ooh, but also, you got to, I feel that, and I totally feel that. But you know what? Should we wait to the next segment to keep going?
No, this is just background.
I thought you were getting ready.
I thought we were getting ready for the break. Okay, let me continue this conversation then.
Keep going.
Continue, please.
I'm sorry.
You know, this is how I see it. You know,
you know, you match it up apples to apples, oranges to oranges. If you look at who's played the better caliber of players, I think it's LeBron. LeBron has gone through the best of the best. Yes, Michael Jordan played against Magic. Magic was already going down. It was already the end of his career. You know what I mean? He went against John Stockton and Malone.
Okay. Gary Payton, I would just Sean agree Kemp. With you on that one.
Yeah, me too. And
you talking about the Patrick Ewings of the world? We talking him. About there was some.
There was some. Good, there was good competition. I agree, but but look at the like take those teams. You know, take those teams and put them now. You know what I mean? You know, can you really think Karl Malone and John Stockton's going again against Curry, Thompson, and Green?
But look, but this is the only where I peep game at, and the only thing why I feel that you can compare them. Because think about the things that are done during the game. Think about how much harder if it was for, let's say, for example, Steph Curry. Let's take him off the Warriors and let's put him with any team during the 90s. How would you think he would have handled it? And also, how would you think? Because, I mean, he was around the NBA at that time. I mean, he was always with his
dad. No one would stop him in the 90s. No one would have
the thing I feel is that he would have a lot harder time. Yeah, he still would have that same cold shot. But he would have had to do a lot more. There's a lot of things that you can get away with.
Agreed on that.
Now, it's way easier to score points.
Yeah.
And that's what we look at.
That's true.
Nowadays, it's something so small, but imagine how flopping changed the game.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine it would have been a lot more different if, you know, because the games were possession by possession.
Yep.
Think about if someone just flopped in a certain way back in the 90s, how a whole series could have changed just if there was flopping in different ways of getting those little touch fouls and getting and ones. So as of right now, I just feel like they would have definitely had a harder time scoring. There would have been no easy buckets as the way they get it now. Yeah, they would have had, you know, those hot streaks where they're shooting lights out. But imagine the stuff that you could have got away back then. Imagine you put Klay Thompson or Steph Curry back then when they were playing against the Bad Boys and how they would have took a hard foul. They probably would have stopped playing after a couple years. And that's the thing that gets to me wherever I see this, because you can't measure that. Yeah, maybe the players from back then can't hoop right now because it's too fast and it's not the way they play, per se. But let's just say for sure, who'll win one-on-one about one of these players, with someone from back in the day and now, if you're just able to be a little bit more rougher, or you had to use your ways that you can score a little bit better like that, you know? Okay. And that's the only thing that gets at me where I can't compare it.
I think we're about ready for a break. Okay. I tell you what, we're going to finish this conversation. We are not even done. Folks, you are listening to Sports Kings After Dark, Mean Gene, Mario, Diamond Dave, Chris. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Ali, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Yo, what's up? SB Nation 1560, we're back, and she said I was just a friend, but I don't believe her.
All right, folks, yes. Oh, baby, you! Yes! All right. It's the Sports Kings After Dark, Houston. Houston, we still haven't heard from you. 713-439-1560. If you want to get in on this Michael Jordan versus LeBron James, if you think you might have a take here and can just tell the Kings something that we haven't mentioned here, 713-439-1560. Love to hear from you and be part of this LeBron James and Michael Jordan debate. So, hey, finish your point there, David.
Oh, man.
You were still talking during the break, folks.
I think I finished it off because of my biggest. I honestly didn't even know that we were about to go on a break. I just kept rambling. And, Gene, I told you, you need to at least poke me with a stick or something.
No, else man. You keep were. Going, hey, man. We. Whoa. We just.
Pause,
hey, no,
pause,
no,
pause,
no,
pause.
No poking. No poking around here, okay? None of that stuff, okay? Pause. All right. So, playoffs. Let's finish talking about Michael Jordan here, because I'm sitting here.
There's so many different things that you can compare. For example, Jim, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Compared, okay, I see LeBron and James comparisons right now, who do you think was a score led the league in scoring more times, and how many times do you think each player has done it?
Well, I know in that 90 season when the Bulls start getting to where they needed to go, Jordan was averaging 33, 31, 30 points a game for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when he left and he came back, when he came back in 94, he was averaging
45.
It's number 45. He was still averaging 26 more points a game, 26 one year, 30 one year. And then his last year with the Bulls, he averaged 28 points a game. So didn't MJ win more?
Yeah, and you know what? It's by he colossus over him, man. LeBron only scoring title once and MJ 10 times.
Hello. I mean, it was during that dominance year. It was this guy ran it from 84-85 he when did he come in? He came in 84.
Short season.
His first year, he averaged 28 points a game. I mean, so he kept it going. I mean, so that's why he should have won those titles, man. And as a shooting guard, he represented and basically played more. He played 82 games. I mean, he didn't get hurt that much.
Yeah.
And LeBron hasn't really gotten hurt that much.
Not either, too much. So, yeah, he's a freak of nature.
You have to remember, too, LeBron James has been to the finals every single year of his career. Do you know how much basketball that is?
That's a lot.
Jordan can't even put those numbers up. You know what I mean? I think about it. People talk about, Jordan was great, but Jordan didn't start winning until he started getting Pippen and Rodman and Paxson, and Kerr and all them in it. And that's why one of the biggest things to me is people always say, oh, well, LeBron James left and he went to Miami to go join up with stars. Okay. Well, if a team wasn't giving you what you need to win, what's wrong with going to go find the place? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing for me now is like these eras is now – you didn't have teams back then that had like
the super teams.
Yeah, like three or four superstars. You know what I mean? You had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kemp. What was that other guy's name? Payton and the other guy. It wasn't like that, but it was like tier one, tier two, tier mm-hmm. three. Now you have three tier one guys on one team.
It's funny how you talk about these super teams and you know who really started this super team stuff?
The Lakers when they got Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Yeah, No, it was not the Lakers. It was not the Lakers. You forgot Celtics. About Charles Barkley coming to
Houston. Oh, with the Rockets. Houston. Yeah.
Oh,
you
wow.
forgot about Charles Barkley going to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, but
Charles Barkley was chasing the ring.
But
then.
Who else did they have in Phoenix other than Charles Barkley that year? Because that team was soft too when they went against Jordan and
Marley.
The
I mean, they had
they ended up being Mario Ely, I believe. But that's
so that's when it
team,
all started because Barkley came from the Philadelphia 76ers chasing the ring.
And that's the interesting thing because not shortly, I believe Scottie Pippen was with the Rockets.
He went,
then from here went to Portland.
The super team started here.
Oh, and you definitely could say that, but I mean, you can't blame L.A. for doing what they did as well.
The Lakers had already won championships, though.
That's
so they didn't bring those guys in win.
Remember that year? They did horrible. Remember
they would have won
year?
Four in a row. they made it to the NBA Finals and lost to the Pistons.
To the Pistons, man. That Piston defense was just...
But they lost because Shaq and Kobe wasn't on the same page.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But no, but I'm just saying that the super team stuff started, here I think in Houston. But I'm looking at what LeBron has done. Yeah, they went down there. I mean, he could have stayed in Miami, and they probably could have made that work and ran off maybe some more. But I think he did the right thing by going back to Cleveland, and I think that championship meant more to him than anyone that he has.
But the one thing that kind of gets me though when you're saying about these super teams. Let's think about how many teams that, they have multiple stars, but let's also think about the teams, how many teams that are just complete trash right now.
Oh, yeah.
And because, this first round, some games in these first two rounds.
Horrible.
Exactly. So, I mean, when you kind of look at, the spectrum of LeBron, of who he's been playing, that counts just a little bit because, he's been playing against some stars, but also think about all those games that he's playing against a whole bunch of scrubs. You got to think about that as well.
This year's NBA playoffs, just getting up to the finals, I think the best two teams did get to the finals. And I am definitely concerned about the Boston Celtics because they are about to get better. They're sitting there looking at the number one draft pick.
They got so many choices.
And LeBron is getting older. So, I mean, pretty soon we're going to be talking about the next up-and-coming whoever it's going to be. Whether it's going to be the young kid from the Lakers, Brandon Ingram.
Ingram, yeah.
You know, so you still got another.
Like next,
right. Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be that next player that we're going to be talking about?
And it's interesting how Magic puts that.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's next.
The Greek freak, he's amazing.
I mean, who are we going to be talking about here pretty soon when it won't be LeBron? Because LeBron is, you know, he's
and you got to remember that LeBron's older than everybody. He's been seeing a lot of balls. So we also got to remember that. So we also got to remember, like, our KDs, our Russ,
right.
Our Harden. They're still young.
Yeah, they're still
young.
Right.
But whenever they start getting to the hills that LeBron's in.
You know what team scares me? That Utah Jazz team, man.
Yeah, that team is looking pretty
good. You know
good.
What I really like, too? Timberwolves.
Timberwolves.
That young team and then that young Philly team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, but then again, you know, these guys will be compared to rings. So, you know, not that LeBron is retiring or anything, folks. So I don't want anyone to think that there's been some breaking news or something about LeBron's retiring. No, we're talking about who's going to be the next champion. You know, who's going to step up to the next level here. But, guys, we're going to make our picks tomorrow. Tomorrow we will pick who is going to win the NBA Finals. And it's not easy. And I know what Vegas is saying right now. I know Ed and Kevin Garnett. I keep wanting to call him.
Kevin Garnett.
Keep wanting to call him Skinny Jeans.
Someone you just want to talk about all the time.
Skinny Jeans, man.
The tarantula.
Anyway, and speaking of Skinny Jeans, guys, let's talk about the rompers stuff for a minute.
Real quick, what
happened with the rompers? What happened
was I was on Twitter one day and it just exploded everywhere. So, everywhere I went, it was just memes. It was everything.
But didn't it start at that festival in California, Coachella or Coachella?
Yeah, Coachella. And you know what? That's where it kind of started.
Isn't where it started?
Because I want to say Cam Newton had one on.
Correct.
And honestly, it's just something that's been boiling over. And it's kind of just exploded one day one random day on Twitter.
It's just crazy.
It's like those fidget spinner thingies.
Yeah, it's just like a fidget spinner.
Man, just crazy stuff, though. But anyway, all right. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. So next hour, stick around because we're going to be talking about the NFL deciding to relax its stance on touchdown celebrations.
No fun league.
In the NFL. That's going to be exciting. So what now?
Hasn't that already been a thing?
It's been a thing that you couldn't celebrate in the end zone.
No pumps.
No thrust.
We'll talk about the things you can and cannot do. Also, we will talk about the Houston Texans and what's happening right here in this town and what we got to look forward to in the upcoming football season here, where these draft picks are, OTAs and all that good stuff is going to be starting. And then later on in the bottom of the next hour, we'll be talking about the red-hot Houston Astros that continue to stun
Major League Baseball.
I mean, they are stunning Major League Baseball. So all of that stuff is going to be coming up in the next hour. So we want everybody to stick around. So it's Memorial Day weekend, one of the weekends where we like to take time and just honor all of those folks who have served this great country and went on to a higher authority. This is one of those weekends we want everyone to be safe out there as well. So, but anyway, when we come back, Houston Texans football here on Sports Kings After Dark, 1560 AM. We'll be right back.
Präsentiert das beste Angebot aller Zeiten zum 15. Jubiläum. Hol dir jetzt O2 Free 15. Jeden Monat 15 GB für nur 29,99. Nur für kurze Zeit im O2-Shop oder auf o2.de/15.